Bishop Kagan, brothers and sisters in Christ, my name is Father Javier del Castillo. I am the vicar of Opus Dei in the Midwest. I have finally come to the limit of my territory here, as I was told, because the West begins on the other side of the Missouri River. I would like to thank you for inviting me to come and participate at this Mass in honor of St. Jose Maria, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday. On behalf of the members of Opus Dei here in Bismarck, there's only a couple, I want to express our full support and prayers for your intentions in this diocese. As you know, St. Jose Maria always spoke about and preached and is known mostly for calling the laity to their baptismal commitment in taking their holiness seriously, the universal call to holiness. By sanctifying oneself and others around them from within the world, in the middle of the world, he used to say. And in looking at Bismarck here, I think all of you are in a privileged position to do just that, being strategically located right in the middle of the North American continent. Hopefully your wholesome Christianity and your hard work ethic will reach the coasts, which definitely need it in sanctifying all of the United States, and from the United States, the whole world. We have to re-Christianize the world. St. Jose Maria used to say that these world crises that we are living through are crises of saints. That was one of his famous phrases. And he said it in two senses. One, in the sense that, well, like when we have a financial crisis, we have no money. When we have a crisis of saints, we have no saints. There's very few saints. And what we need is more saints. And the saints do not just come from people who have taken on a vow or who have been ordained to the priesthood. If you look at St. Peter's Square, you see maybe even a hundred or so, or at least dozens of saints in the colonnade of Bernini, right on top of the columns there. And one thing strikes our attention, and that is that they all have some kind of robe on, either a cassock or a robe or a habit. And you would get the impression that in order to be a saint, we may have to wear a robe or a habit or a cassock or something like that, and sandals, and leave the world. And yet, St. Jose Maria received a special message on October 2nd, 1928, which was that everyone is called to holiness. Yes, including bishops, priests, and religious, and laity as well. Every single person is called to holiness, and we all have to be saints. But not everyone, only those who are called, really are called to the religious life and to the priesthood. And those people who are called to the priesthood and religious life are needed for the church. But certainly sanctity should not be the monopoly of those people who take a vow or are ordained. Every single person, in virtue of his or her baptism and confirmation, are called to be saints and canonizable saints. That was the message St. Jose Maria received and preached to the end of his life. In today's gospel, we read how Peter catches this great shoal of fish. And today, given that the gospel is always new, it's always the good news, and it's always up to date, we can bet that the Holy Spirit wants the same shoal of fish to be caught in today's world, but no longer fish, but now as Peter becomes, he becomes a fisher of men. Men and women in the world have to be caught for Christ. And tonight, we have to look at the life of this saint who actually, in his own lifetime, saw the great shoal of fish that Christ had caught through him. When he died on June 26th, 1975, 43 years ago, yesterday, there were 60,000 of his spiritual children who were committed for their entire life to live this holiness right in the middle of where they were, in their professional work, being teachers, engineers, lawyers, even lawyers, you know, politicians, actors, actresses, nurses, all sorts of professions that are honest, are capable of actually being the medium or the means through which we encounter Christ, just like the apostles encountered Christ in their boats and in their nets. We too can encounter Christ in our office, in the factory, in the operating table, anywhere. Anywhere is the place where we can encounter Christ. Opus Dei, the institution that was founded by St. Jose Maria, spread through 60 countries when he died, and now it's in over 80 countries with over 100,000 people trying to spread this message. And today, I think this is also a kind of historic event here, the first Mass, I think, of St. Jose Maria in Bismarck. I hope that his message also take root here so that a rejuvenation of Christianity can come from here, from the very middle of the continent. These crises are crises of saints. There's another sense in which he meant these crises of saints. He said, not only because there's very few saints and we need more, and therefore we all have to step up, but also because these world crises belong to the saints to solve and to encounter. And that's why we need people. Christ needs us to actually be everywhere, be wherever a human being can actually create and transform the culture. And in a certain sense, the church expands when a baptized member of the body of Christ actually works in a profession that didn't exist before. You know, I mean, Jesus was a carpenter, and I'm sure he would have loved to have been a software programmer, but he couldn't because computers didn't exist. But now he can through you if you are a software programmer, you know, or whatever your profession is. Really, we have to reincarnate Jesus once again in our lives because he wants to come to each one of us again today. How are we to do this? How are we to commit ourselves to holiness, and how are we to get the great shoal of fish that the gospel talks about today? Well, if we had to mobilize millions of people, we would think of, I don't know, incorporating a not-for-profit organization, getting a website, getting everybody a smartphone or something so that we can all be on the same page. Money, we need personnel, we need training, we need all sorts of things. But that is not what Jesus wants, actually, as the means for this great revolution that he is calling for. In fact, he sent the apostles without sandals, without money bag, without staff, without a tunic or a second tunic, you know, when he sent them off into their apostolic mission. And they didn't need anything. They weren't lacking anything. All the things that we can do with our brilliant ideas, with our intellect, all those things are wonderful. With our hard work, those are necessary, and they're great means. But we see Peter here in the gospel working all night and catching nothing. Even if we work really hard as we can, without Christ, we can do nothing. And therefore, what is the secret? The secret is to do exactly what Peter did. The first step is to let him into the boat. Let him into the boat, and we don't know exactly what happened here in the boat, but he could have said, you know, hey, you, get out of my boat. You know, I mean, that's my boat, not yours. And, you know, sometimes we do the same thing with Jesus when he comes into our lives. He just gets into the boat. We don't see the gesture or the expression that he had, but it was probably very cordial. But he really didn't ask for permission. He just came into the boat of Peter. And, you know, Peter said, well, okay, fine, I'll go along with it. That's the way he comes into our lives as well. He just shows up and he asks us and he begs us for our time, for our talent, for our treasure. And he says, can you? Would you? Please, I want to need you. I want to. And then we say, well, sure. And we begin to pray. Letting Christ into the boat is beginning to pray, beginning to have a relationship with him where somehow he makes himself indebted to us, and mysteriously we think he owes us something and we do him a favor. And then, as St. Jose Maria says, when we do God a little tiny favor, we just open the door a little bit, he comes in with his entire divinity, with the entire power of his Father God and the Holy Spirit. They come in. When we open just a little bit, he gives us 100% of who he is. What we need to do is begin to pray. And that's what St. Jose Maria taught many people to do, to talk to God. He would say, to talk about what? He says, you know, you don't need to be good at poetry in order to pray well, in order to be good at prayer. Because a lot of people think that they need to compose prayers. I beseech thee, O Lord. And he says, well, I'm not good with the thees and thous, so I don't really know how to pray. Well, no, you don't need to be good with the thees and thous. You don't need to rhyme it. You just need to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Christ. Because he's here. He's in your soul in grace. That's what we need. We need the state of grace. That's why St. Jose Maria used to go to confession once a week. Because he says, I need to be in the state of grace. And it's, you know, being in the state of grace is not a binary thing. It's you're zero or one, you know, not in the state of grace or grace. No, I could be more in the state of grace, more intensely united with Christ, more intensely identified with his very person and mission, so that I can truly light up the paths of the earth for souls that are around me. And that begins with prayer, with prayer. Then with sacrifice, and this is exactly what we see in today's gospel as well. Not only does Jesus ask Peter to let him into the boat and to put out a little from the shore, but then he says, now put out a lot from the shore. When you start dealing with Christ, he asks for a little at first, but then he really asks you for everything. And then you're in deep water. Put out into the deep, he says. Go out into the deep where you really can't swim, where you really are not certain anymore, where you don't control things, where you need to write the blank check for God. And this is also something that St. Jose Maria learned from his parents to do, to not put any obstacle between him and God, and always to do the will of God if he intuited what it was. And that's exactly what happened. A religious, one day in his hometown of Logroño in Spain, a little tiny town, much smaller than Bismarck. So imagine if what came out from Logroño can fill the world, what will not fill the world, what comes out of Bismarck. But he saw a discalced Carmelite walking barefoot in the snow at age 14. He was 14. And he said, if this man of God does that for God, what should I do for God? That encounter with Christ never left him. It changed his life forever, just like this encounter with Peter changed Peter's, with Christ changed Peter's life forever. That question that he asked himself based on the generosity of this Carmelite made St. Jose Maria think that he should become a priest because God wanted something of him, and in fact, he did. And this blank check that he wrote, he really didn't know where he was going, because God doesn't show us everything all at once. We're on a need-to-know basis with God, or really on a need-to-trust basis with God. We don't know where we're going, but if we give him a blank check, we can expect to be surprised, because we can never outdo him in generosity. That's also one of the phrases St. Jose Maria used to say always. Always be generous with God, because you can't win in a contest with God to see who's more generous. You'll lose. He'll be a lot more generous with you than you are with him, a lot more. So don't worry about that, he says. Always give him the best. Always give him 100%, and he'll give you a surprising amount later. And today, at this Mass here, perhaps we can recommit ourselves to examining our conscience, examining deep within our hearts, and asking our Lord there, in the boat of our hearts, where is it that you, Lord, want me to lower the nets for the catch? Where should I be more docile to the Holy Spirit? In this cathedral of the Holy Spirit, certainly we can count on his help. Where can I be more of the leaven in the dough? Where can I be, you know, the leaven is a transformative agent of the dough and of itself. In other words, at the end we have bread. We don't have leaven and dough. We don't have leaven and bread. We have bread. And if I am leaven, I transform others around me, but in so doing, I also transform myself with the grace of God. And this is exactly what the mission of the laity is like this leaven that disappears in the middle of society. Side by side, we work with peers who are the same, our equals. But we have something that they don't. We are the leaven. But we're not better than they, because we both are transformed into bread. And that's exactly what Christ wants us to do, as he says in the Gospel, in his Sermon on the Mount. I like to think of the laity as leaven, and the world that needs conversion, and we too are part dough, because we also need conversion, as precisely that leavening process in society. And we might say, the priesthood, where is the priesthood come in? The priesthood really is what allows us to keep ourselves honestly leavened, to not lose our leavening power, because the leaven will have the temptation to become dough. I want to be just like everybody else, we think. I want a vacation, you know, in Hawaii, and I want everything. I want to spend my money on myself. I want all the pleasures in life. I want to experiment everything. You know, that's not leaven. That's the leaven wanting to become dough, and that's called really the temptation of secularism, to really become worldly and not Christian. But the other temptation also exists of the leaven. The leaven has the temptation of wanting to, well, when they see the dough of society is so bad and so, you know, spoiled, that they say, no, let's stick together. Let's not go out into the dough, because the world is evil, the world is so bad. What are we going to do? Let's create a little compartment within the dough where all the leaven stays healthy and pure. That's a temptation too. That would be disavowing from our responsibility in the world. What we have to do is be in the world, but not be worldly, as our Lord said in St. John's Gospel. And that's why we need the priesthood, to keep us in grace, to feed us with the body of Christ. That's why we, you know, if you can go to Mass every day, go to Mass every day. If you can't, wish to go to Mass every day, even though if you can't. But it's such a gift that we have, the Eucharist. We have confession, the Eucharist, the sacraments, you know. That's the priesthood. The religious, we also need the religious as an example for us to remember that this is not the end all and be all of all existence. And I would like to think of them as the raisins, actually. They act by making the bread better. But outside of that leavening process of the laity, that specific leavening process in politics, in Wall Street, in Hollywood, in fashion, all those, you're not going to find religious there. That's where the laity have to be. And that's where, you know, we transform that. But the religious who actually set themselves apart from that society of ours, those, they help us to actually, you know, have this example, this eschatological witness, as it is called, that this world is going to end, but that we have to save it with Christ. This is the mission that St. Jose Maria envisioned. And this is what we are called to do today. Let us ask Mary, our mother, for this silent but effective transformative power that comes with union with her son. This is what she did. In fact, she's the greatest saint of all, but she did not do anything out of the ordinary in her lifetime here on earth. She did not perform any miracles. Maybe you could say the wedding at Cana was a kind of miracle that she performed, right, to get her son to agree with her. That was a miracle in itself, but she did not do anything extraordinary. How did she sanctify herself? She sanctified herself by getting water at the well, by changing a diaper, by feeding a child and her husband, by being one more. Nobody knew who she was, and yet here she was, the greatest saint of all. Let us turn to her and put all our intentions at her feet so that she can take them to her son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.